How many of you need the healer? Bring this table over. Bought myself a mug. That's one. No, that was given to me from someone else. How self-centered is that? We've been talking on the subject of faith the last couple of weeks. And I was asked about the title today. I was like, just put Westview Church. Because I'm going to just let the Lord speak through me. I got a message today, but it's not entitled Faith or anything. But I do want to speak to those who are broken, who are dealing with some stuff. I believe the Lord has something for you. Shouldn't have brought this up here. If you're going through some things right now, I mean, I'm talking about just trauma or some type of storm, come on up, please. And we want to pray with you. You don't have to be embarrassed. We're family. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are the comforter in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. What's his name?
Angelo.
Father God, we thank you that you are the healer. You are the healer, Lord. You have borne all our sicknesses, all our diseases, Father God. It doesn't matter what we were doing. You bore that in the name of Jesus in your body. And Father God, we speak to that liver right now. We command healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we don't know if he knows you, but Lord, you know him. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for healing. Supernaturally, Lord. And we stand on that. Lord, we ask that you comfort this woman. We thank you. And their children. We thank you, Lord, that they can depend on you, that they can trust in you, that they can lean on you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you for all you do and for who you are. You are the healer. You are a giver of life. Does he have a relationship with you, with the Father? Angela? Yeah. Yeah.
He used to preach.
Yes. Okay. We thank you, Jesus. Calm this storm, Lord. And help them through it in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open to Romans 12. We know the scripture very, very well. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. That is truly the way to worship him." See, Paul pleads with the Christians to not just say you live for God, but to give your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. And it's the kind that God will find acceptable. Too often people are trying to please other people. We're supposed to be pleasing to God, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we live our life by faith. This is a daily commitment that Paul is trying to get believers to live out. And it's easy to say, but it's a whole different level to act on. We can say it, we can say it, we can say it, but we got to act on what we believe. Now, how do you know you're living by faith? You're trusting in him. So are you trusting in what the Bible is saying about it, about your situation? Are you acting on what he's leading you to do? God doesn't make us to be a living, holy, and sacrifice. We have to do it. It says, make yourselves. Give your bodies. It's our daily choices that we make in order to be move to be in a living sacrifice. See, the Holy Spirit isn't just for us on Sundays. A lot of times, Holy Spirit, we can be all churchy on Sundays and then Monday comes and we cussing everybody out. You can use the Holy Spirit. I said, you can communicate with the Holy Spirit every single day. You don't have to wait until Sunday to do it. You don't have to wait until Wednesday night to do it. It's every single day, over every little thing in your life. You know, some people will be like, well, I'll see you next week, same time, same place. Now, I'll see you at Walmart tomorrow. I'll see you at the body shop. I'll see you at Serves. God goes with you everywhere you go. Every decision that you can make on a daily can be by the Holy Spirit. But listen, some people aren't going to like it. They're not going to like you living for God. They're going to get jealous of you. You know, I was reading in 1 Samuel about David and Saul, you know, and David didn't do anything wrong. Literally did not do anything wrong, and yet Saul became jealous because people began praising David over Saul. And sometimes people are going to be jealous because of you got a good marriage. Your kids are well-behaved. You keep getting promoted over it, and they keep getting passed on. They're going to get jealous of you. They're going to be envious of you. But see, once they come to their senses and they turn around and ask you, how is it that you're able to do this? You can tell them, I pray about everything, man. I've got a personal relationship with Jesus. You ain't got to force that on them. You ain't got to be all preaching and all that other stuff. And not to say you shouldn't. But you can show them through your works, through your actions, and through your faith and through your beliefs. Storms coming around, and you just steady Eddie. You're not shaking. You know, I'm just reminded when I was recovering from COVID or the medication they gave me, and they had a big old storm. And I got the oxygen tank and hooked up. And then lights go out, power goes out. I didn't freak out. The winds was blowing up against the house. I was sitting on my couch playing Sudoku. Is that how you say it? Sudoku. Never panicked. Why? The storm wasn't touching me. storm can't touch you if you don't let it. Up here. The greatest battle you're ever going to have is right there between your ears. Your thoughts. When you start offering up your body as a living sacrifice, you will begin to see who is actually for you and who is against you. Some people just don't want you to level up. Some people don't want you to get to that next level. If you're facing a big time trial right now in your life, it's because you're getting ready to level up. All of hell is trying to come against you, trying to break it up, trying to stop you, and they can't. So you have to be the example for your spouse, for your children, so it doesn't matter what people say. Their opinions about you shouldn't matter, but your opinion, but God's opinion about you should. Don't put their opinions over God. Never do that. God over everything. You want motivation? Motivation? Read the word. You get all the motivation you need. Read the word. You want to know God more? Spend more time with him. You want to know more about God? Read the word. You want to find out who you truly are? Read the word. What he says about his children should make all the difference in the world, because becoming a living and holy sacrifice means there is going to be a whole lot of correction in your life. God's going to correct you. You thinking you're walking this way? Okay, I'm just going by faith, Lord. I was like, okay, go a little bit here. All right. Go here, okay. Rest for a little bit. Rest. Okay, yeah, okay. Now get up and let's go. It'll be course corrections throughout your life until you get to the final place, until Jesus comes back, and that's when we will be made complete. So you don't have to get upset over correction. Correction is a good thing. It's a godly thing. He's helping you to navigate through all the junk in this world and that the world is trying to put on you. Pastor Tim, I don't want to be one of those holy rollers. Do I have to wear a 3-piece suit every single day? No, you don't. You don't. Well, Jesus wore the finest linen. I get that, but what does his disciples wear? You know, they make some jeans that are just more expensive than suits. Some people don't like people getting up here and preaching in jeans. But it's not the outward. God is working on the inside. If people don't like you preaching in jeans, God bless you. It's not a list of rules, but through all the course correction that God gives you, but we have to be patient with it. And it's going to be frustrating at times, and it's supposed to be, because your flesh is going to want to do what it wants to do. Babe, we're going on a diet. All right, starting when? It's Thursday. When are we going to start this diet? Of course, on Monday. We're going to have to get some meals in now. Am I the only one? Monday's the day to start. New beginnings. That's day 8. But your flesh, come Monday, you do well, and then, you know, man. And all of a sudden, you're watching TV and these commercials come up. Boy, that burger looked good. Whew. So you have to tell your flesh, no. Why? Because I'm going to be a living sacrifice every single day. Lord, I present my body. Now, you want to be looking like 40 years from now or what have you. I said, just take it one day at a time. You don't have to overwhelm yourself. One day at a time, I'm going to be a living sacrifice to God. Lord, I present my body as a living and holy sacrifice this day. No one else can do it for you. No one. And it's not for anyone else to try and control you through other people in order for it to happen. Well, all these people are just trying to help me out.
Okay.
You want to help somebody out, point them to the scripture and point them to Jesus, but don't try to point them to you. We're not trying to be God in somebody else's life. Point them to scripture, point them to Jesus. Don't try to point them to you. You ain't God. You're a child of God. When we make those changes in our lives, we are truly worshiping the Father. He says, now how do we do this? Verse 2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. We should be different than unbelievers by the way we live, by the way we respond to criticism. You just can't throat punch everybody, by how we do life with one another. Jesus said, this is how they will know you are my disciples, your love for one another. So the world shouldn't be teaching the church how to get along with each other. We should be showing them. We should be demonstrating that. God has made us a standard for living, and we seem to fall short every day because our minds aren't renewed and we haven't made our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. But when you're allowing the word to renew your mind, a transformation starts to take place on the inside of you. When you accept Jesus, it doesn't happen overnight, but a transformation starts to take place. People may not see it right away, but a transformation starts to take place. When you put the seed in the ground and you water it, a few days it's gonna grow down first before you see anything sprout up. So when you accept Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, when you become born again, your mind does not change, but your spirit does. Your mind does not. You have to renew it with his word. And this one is really, really important. Never, ever compare yourself to someone else. Never compare to what God is doing in another person's life than what he is doing in your own. But some can believe that God can do mighty exploits in their life. And some people can just believe, you know, God, I'm just believing for rent this month. See, when you compare, you just basically devalue and belittle what God has done in your life. He may have brought you from rock bottom to like level 3, whatever that is. But you over here looking at level 8 and you're realizing my life ain't nothing. Wait a minute. They started where you were at. It just took some time. Don't worry about that. Where God has you right now, you don't have to worry about that. But think about how faithful he has been to take you from there and to bring you to where you're at and where he's taking you next. You have to learn to value what God has done in your life up to that point and beyond that, because he is always faithful. He always takes care of his children. You may have heard that expression. It's not how you started, but it's how you finish. Finish strong. Finish strong. Again, it says, let God transform you into a new person. Let God. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In order to be transformed, the word has to be in your heart. So if you came from a broken household, if you're coming out of a bad relationship, if you've been broken and shattered into pieces, your heart has just been gone. I mean, just like somebody just took a stick of dynamite, some C4, and just poof, and your heart has been shattered into pieces. God wants to put those pieces back together. When we try to do it ourselves, it becomes a toxic mess that we have to deal with for the rest of our lives until God truly gets a hold of our hearts. It's like growing up, and your parents may have had their favorite coffee mug that they drink out of every single morning. Now, I don't know about you. My mom liked instant coffee. Folgers, crystals. So we would put a couple of spoonfuls out of a little jar, put it in there, put the sugar in there, put the water on the stove and let it boil, bring it to a boil and get that pot and pour it into the cup and then add a little milk to it and take it in there. Oh, too strong, too weak. You're going to have to put, I said, so we were making that, but it was always in the same mug. Now, if you grew up, if you're around my age, and for adults that are the age of my parents, you know that that mug was pretty special. Maybe they got it for Christmas. Maybe they made it at school or what have you. But they know they drink out of that mug every single day, and it is a special mug. And then one day, you're wrestling around with your brothers or sisters. And that mug is sitting on the edge of the table and then breaks. And you know what happened next. Ooh, you in trouble. And now you're trying to pick up all the pieces. Every last one of them. Now, if I believe this is why I have sensitive feet. I don't like anybody touching my feet. Like Costanza off of Seinfeld there. Nobody touches my feet. But we would always walk around barefoot. And if you don't pick up every single piece of this porcelain that has dropped, you're going to feel it. Now, as you pick up the pieces, you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. I got an idea. We're going to put it back together. We're going to glue it back together. So you try to find some crazy glue and you start piecing it back together and stuff. And then now you got to let the glue set. You don't know if it's going to work or not. Or better yet, I mean, if it's just all jacked up, you got pieces all over the place and every which way. It doesn't even say world best boss. It says something different. You got the pieces in the wrong places. And so you have to end up throwing it away. So if you threw it away, you got to go to the store and get you a new one. We're going to have to recreate something. They only got white mugs there. So now I'm going to have to get some markers. So not only are you looking in the kitchen aisle, you're looking in the arts and crafts. You got to get a marker. You got to get some stencil. And if it had glitter on it, you're going to have to get some glitter. And try to put that mug right back together again. You got marker on there and all that other stuff. And then, you know, thinking that it's good. Put it back in the cupboard. Facing the other way. Not facing this way. Facing the other way. Maybe they won't notice. Then your parent get up in the morning. Reach in the cupboard. Pull out that cup. Pour their coffee. And then they start drinking it. You know, when you start drinking it, you kind of mess with the cup a little bit. You may switch hands a little bit here and there. You see, wait a minute, this ain't my cup. What happened to my mug? What happened to my coffee cup? Or if you dare to put the pieces back together and put it right back up in the cupboard, they went and reached and got it. Pour that coffee in there, and then it begins to leak. They take a sip. They cut their lip because there's a piece of porcelain missing. Now, growing up, we have six boys in our family. She would call every single name, and it was like, get in line. Who broke my mug? Who broke my cup? Now, if parents are a lot smarter than we are when we were younger and stuff like that, because they know how to get, oh, man, I just love my new mug. I said, I want to know who did all this. I mean, that is so awesome. Oh, I did it. And they end up telling on themselves. But see, the thing is that when we put the pieces back together, ourselves, without any help. What we should have done was basically just, hey, mom, dad, I broke him up. And I tried to put it back together and it didn't work. I broke it. And sometimes in our lives when we get certain trauma may happen to us, our hearts get broken, we try to put those pieces back together and it doesn't work out because now we're triggered for every little thing. It's because God, we didn't go to God. And we didn't say, Lord, I missed it. I need some help in this area. But instead, we try to hide it. We try to put it back together, glue it, put it up in the cupboard, make sure they never see it. And God is saying, you know, if you just tell me, we can help you. If you just show me what happened, we can help you. You don't have to hide that. I know what they did to you was wrong. I know how they mistreated you. I know you were bullied when you were young. I know that they lied on you. I know that they told on you. I know that they tried to destroy your marriage. I know these things. I know your family member had passed away because of cancer. I know that. But if you just allow, if you just come to me and tell me how you're feeling, if you just spend that time with me, if you just allow me to mold you and shape you into who I want you to be, we can heal all of that. And there won't be any leaks. When you're pressed, there won't be any cracks. You won't see the glue hanging off the, because you allow God to heal you the right way. You allow God to mold you and shape you into who he wanted you to be. Luke 12 says this. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? We've all been through something. But he's so caring that he wants us to come to him and allow him to heal us the right way. When we try to fix it ourselves, there's going to be some missing pieces. When we try to fix it ourselves, I said that's why a lot of personality disorders happens, because of trauma that was never fully healed by God. I don't know about you, but there is nothing more terrifying than trying to hold the light for your dad while he's working on the car. Will you just keep the light still? But dad, there's another piece over here. No, I'm working over here. And then we can get to that. But you're trying to help him yourself. But he knows how to do it. And God just wants you to shine some light on those things in those areas that we just kept in the closet. We kept in the dark. And he just wants to shine some light and say, hey, Lord, I missed it here. I need some help in this. I don't want to do it alone. And then he will begin to heal your heart. He will begin to take you through some scripture to meditate on, allow it to ruminate in your heart. He'll start putting people around you that knows the word and can speak life into you. You don't have to do it alone. You don't ever have to do life alone. He loves you. He loves you more than you ever know. So after this day, most of you probably already do it. But go to God. In verse 3, it says this in Romans 12. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in evaluating yourselves. Evaluate yourself every single week. Or at the end of the day, evaluate yourself. Lord, where am I not trusting you? Where am I not depending upon you? Evaluate it. He'll tell you. Measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. We have all been given the measure of faith to live this life, not defeated, but in victory. Evaluate yourself. You don't have, no one else needs to do that. You do that because that's your relationship with him. Evaluate yourself. I'm missing it. I'm missing it somewhere. I didn't treat my wife the way she needed to be treated. Evaluate it. Now, I always treat Kristen good. I don't know what she's complaining about. He has given us the measure of faith. Amen. So whatever broken pieces that are missing in your life, get back and allow God to fix it. You may have to go through some fire. That refiner's fire. You know, when metal is being refined, all the impurities come out of that metal. And when God is trying to refine you, and when you're going through that fire, there's going to be some impurities coming out of you. So be patient. Why am I angry all the time? Because he's bringing that out of you. Why am I snapping on people? Because God is trying to bring that out of you, because he's refining you through that fire. So that you could be more loving, more caring, more compassionate. So that you don't have a heart of stone anymore. Why isn't this weight falling off of me? Be patient. It'll happen. So you can't, it's hard working out which wives, because sometimes men lose weight a lot quicker than women, and you start seeing it a lot. Be patient. What you're doing a good thing. Be patient. Looking good, Charles. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that every area in our lives you are refining us, Lord, and that we can live our life in faith in you because we put our trust in you, Lord, and you love us. You love and you care for each and every one of us here, Lord, and we thank you for the ones that came up today. Lord, they came out of faith and trusting in you. And we believe that they receive what they've asked for, Lord. For healing in their body. For restoration in their family. And for being bold in their faith to be able to live out a relationship with you, Jesus. Even if other family members don't like it. We thank you. That they can continue to be a light for you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. Anybody been getting migraines lately? Raise your hand real quick. Migraines? No migraines? Then be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak to that. I was just going to hug you. No, I was playing. But be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak to that right now. Has no right to be. We thank you, Lord. You have one right now? Did you have one right now? Okay. And you won't get any more. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. We bless them. We bless them. We bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a great week. Great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.